not only are Christians no longer sharing their faith, but 48% of millennial Christians say it's wrong to do that. Think about that for a minute. 48% of practicing Christians in the millennial generation say that it's actually wrong to share your faith.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Life Church Canton podcast. I'm your host, Sam Parham. This is a rather bittersweet introduction to do. If you're a regular here at Life Church Canton, you've likely heard the news, but in the case that you haven't, our beloved Next Generations pastor, Dan Pratt, has accepted a call to be the campus pastor of a church in Indiana starting later this spring. Dan has spent 9 years at Life Church Canton of amazing ministry, and we are super sad to see the Pratts go, but we know that God has something great in store for them down in Indiana. I've personally worked alongside Dan for the past 4 years and consider him a good friend. I look up to Dan in a ton of ways, and I'm especially going to miss all the laughs that we've had together. All that to say, we're all going to miss you, Dan, but we're excited for this new chapter in your life. This episode of the podcast will actually be his final sermon here at Life Church Canton as a pastor, and I really can't think of a better message to end it with than this one. This message is called Love's Qualification. Enjoy.
Somebody say, what's up, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. Things and stuff. So my name's Dan. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Life Church currently. And so just want to say good morning to you. We're so glad that you're here. Especially because we're in week two of our series called The Cross Equals Love. And in case you're kind of behind or in case you're watching online and you've never been with us before, just want to say that we are thrilled that you would give us a piece of your time, first of all, and to kind of get you up to speed on what we're talking about here, that this symbol right here, a little over 2,000 years ago, meant death and pain and darkness. But something happened right at 2,000 years ago that turned it into this. In fact, it turned it into this dark symbol, into the greatest symbol of love that the world has ever or will ever know. The greatest act of love ever. And so if that's true, and I believe that it is, those of us who've embraced that message and have heard that message and have turned our lives over to that idea have to do the hard work, and I'm talking about, y'all, it's hard work, of figuring out how to share that message with a broken world that desperately needs hope. Why? Because that is what love requires. That's what love requires of you and of me. So we've provided a lot of different ways to share this idea. So everybody has bracelets. We're giving away thousands and thousands of bracelets during this that say cross equals love. We encourage you to put at least two on your wrist. And then when you meet somebody who asks you about it, just pull one off and hand it to them and give it to them and talk about that. It has the website that we bought on the back side of it. And then we've got t-shirts. I've seen so many t-shirts. You guys are like, I saw this dude right here getting a pedicure in his cross equals love t-shirt on social media. And I was like, first of all, am I going to need your man card? And then second of all, way to rock that cross equals love somewhere. I saw Wanda's a lady that goes to our church. I saw her holding her new grandchild wearing a cross equals love t-shirt. So that was beautiful. We have a giant banner on our building, in case you haven't noticed that, so that every time somebody pulls up to that red light, they see that the cross equals love. Right? We've been trying to spread this idea throughout our communities. And by the way, thank you so much. 25 families have signed up to move to the 4 p.m. Saturday night service already. And that is making space for people who are just coming into this idea that the cross equals love. So thank you for that. But this is bigger, like you saw in the video, than just Life Church and just our community. In fact, I got a message this week. You guys are killing it spreading this thing. Because I got a message this week from one of our members, a family called the Garwood family. They are currently on vacation in Iceland, okay? Yeah, right. It's amazing that they're on vacation in Iceland, but that's the Garwood family right there. There's a picture of them. But the message was from Candace, the mom, and she said that they went on a hike this week where this abandoned airplane, it's a 1973 U.S. Navy plane that had crashed on the beach there, was located. And their son, Eli, I think we have a picture of Eli. So you can see in that you really can't see because it's so small. But he's wearing his Cross Equals Love bracelet in this picture, right? So they went on this hike. They found the fuselage of this plane. And of course, they're going to explore it, right? But look at what Eli found inside the plane. How crazy is that? We have no idea who put it there, because this is about a bigger thing than just some promotional thing we're doing here at Life Church. This thing is huge. Think about that for just a second. How many hikers, how many people are going to walk through this plane and see that the cross doesn't equal judgment? The cross doesn't equal religion, but instead the cross equals love. That is so powerful, even if they only see it for a moment. And that brings us to what we're talking about today, which I think is so very important, okay? If you're a Christian in this room, you're about to get beat up, all right? So just a heads up for you, this is first part is a little bit hard to hear. But here, if you are honest with yourself, you already know this. Christians have a long and broken history of telling people about the cross. Let's just say we've done it in a lot of ways that were less than loving. In fact, we've been doing this so long that not only have people not embraced this powerful message, but oftentimes they've run from it. We've created culture wars over what's right and what's wrong. We've killed and maimed and burned and held up signs of hate all in the name of God. In short, we've turned the greatest story ever told into a tale that no one really wants to hear. Now, aren't you glad you came to church today? It's true, though, isn't it? But Jesus didn't die to start a religion. He also didn't die to give Christians the moral high ground to throw stones at people who don't believe what we believe. Jesus died because of God's love for every human being on the planet. That's why he died. And because of all this damage and all this stuff that comes with this whole idea, most Christians have come to the place where they rarely share this powerful message because of all the baggage that comes with it, right? You know, it's hard. In fact, in a recent article posted by Barna Research, it says that not only are Christians no longer sharing their faith, but 48% of millennial Christians say it's wrong to do that. Think about that for a minute. 48% of practicing Christians in the millennial generation say that it's actually wrong to share your faith, like you're shoving your beliefs down somebody else's throat. And hey, look, it's easy to pick on millennials. It's like a national pastime for us, right? It's like replaced baseball, right? We're just going to pick on the millennials all the time. But you know what? I can't blame them, because they've inherited something pretty ugly from previous generations. Maybe the reasons millennials are ashamed to share their faith is because we've handed them a faith that's full of shame. But see, and here's the other thing. Even those of us who know we should be sharing our faith, and maybe even want to share our faith, we feel like we're like tied in a knot. We just don't know how. And so we make all these excuses, right? So we'll say things like, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, which is like the super Christian way of saying, I'm not doing that, right? I don't have the gift of evangelism. Or we'll say, I'm an introvert. But, you know, somehow in Scripture it doesn't say anything about introversion and extroversion. But, or we'll even say something like, I don't want to shove my beliefs down somebody else's throat. But my very favorite is this one. I don't know enough about the Bible. Okay, and I get it. I totally understand that. Like, there's a lot on the line. This is a pretty heady thing, a pretty big thing. But do you need a seminary degree to share your faith? Now, granted, in this world, I will give you that there are some things that you need an expert for, right? There's some things you really should be qualified for. For example, not okay. I'm going to take out your liver. We'll figure it out once we get in there, right? But do you have to be an expert in theology to tell people that the cross equals love? So we have this tension here, right? We have this tension. On the one hand, we know that this is important. This is something that not only we should do, it's something most of us actually want to do. Why? Because we found something so amazing and so transformative and so loving that it requires us to share that. But then on the other hand, most of us feel really unqualified to talk about our faith. We feel so unqualified that sometimes it's just debilitating. But once upon a time, think about this, once upon a time in the history of the church, this gospel, this good news was spreading like crazy. And it wasn't from a bunch of super educated religious people. In the book of Acts, we see the church kind of go from this like knockoff of Judaism in a backwater town in the armpit of the Roman Empire to something that just spreads like wildfire. And so that causes us to think to ourselves, well, what do we have in common with these people? Or what were they about? Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Can you imagine that? Kate would lose her ever-loving mind trying to write enough name tags for 3,000 people in one day. Just think about that for a minute. And then in Acts chapter 16, it says, the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Daily. Y'all, what happened? Did the message change? What happened? Is it old news? Who were these people? And what is it that we can learn from them on how to understand what it is to share your faith? Well, we're going to take a look at a story today that highlights that for us, one of the coolest stories I love in the New Testament, where we learn what we have in common with the people who originally shared that the cross equals love. We find it in Acts chapters 3 and 4. So let me just kind of set this up for you. This happens right after Easter, okay? It's at the birth of the early church. It's during that time where thousands and thousands of people are coming to believe. Jesus has been crucified. He's risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit has come and is now living inside the hearts of those who believe. Now remember, when we read this story, this takes place before they knew what they were doing, right? There was no Romans Road to memorize. There was no Romans. There was no book. There was no New Testament at this point. There were no tracts to hand out and put on the backs of toilets because there was no printing press at that time, right? But then it says in chapter 3, two of the disciples, Peter and John, go to the Jewish temple. And on their way, they come across a lame beggar lying by one of the gates. And he asks them for money, and they do the whole Christian bait and switch thing and just tell him about Jesus instead, you know? So they do that. But when they tell him about Jesus, the guy is instantly healed, right? And so he starts following them around, and he's bouncing up and down like a... And I guess I'd be bouncing up and down too, right? Because I'm healed. I've been laying here all this time. And so he's sticking pretty close to Peter and John. The people in the temple are like, what is happening? And they gather a crowd, and Peter looks at this as an occasion to share his faith, right? He's going to tell them how Jesus healed this dude that's standing right there by him. But as you can imagine, the religious leaders in the temple were not about that life. These are the same guys that crucified Jesus just not very long ago. So let's pick it up where it says this. Acts chapter 4, it says, they seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000, and that's just the dudes, right? But then it says that the next day, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. And here's what they said. By what power or what name did you do this? In other words, what qualifies you? What qualifies you? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth whom you crucified. So awkward moment, right? But then he goes on and says, but whom God raised from the dead. And it's by that that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He's quoting the Old Testament here, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And then listen to this. This is the part that just breathes life into me when I feel unqualified, which is pretty much every day. And here's what it says. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Now, amazing, powerful passage. But can we just stop right here and acknowledge the fact that when we read something like this, it seems so surreal and so far removed from our context. I mean, this is Peter and John. If anybody's qualified to talk about Jesus, it's these two guys, right? But maybe we have more in common with these two guys than we think. Because in this passage, we see some amazing things that you and I share with them. And the first one is this. Something had happened to them. Something happened to them. And it's undeniable. Notice they didn't talk about theology. They didn't get into a religious debate. All they talked about was what happened to them. All three of these people pointed, and this is it. All three of these people pointed everything that was good about them back to Jesus. That's all they did. That's all they did. They didn't talk about religion. They talked about something that happened that changed everything. I'm going to say that again. Something happened to them that changed everything. And against that, you guys, there is no argument. There's nothing anyone can say. It says in Acts 4, since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. I love that. So what does this mean for you and me? Let me just ask you this question. Can people tell something happened to you? Can people see that something happened that changed everything about who you are? Can people tell that you've been changed? Because here's the truth. One of the things that qualifies you to talk about your faith is the fact that you're different. You're different. And I'm not just talking about uniqueness. Some of y'all are extra different. Don't elbow your spouse. That's not cool. Like, no pointing. Some of y'all are extra different. You know what I'm talking about. But this isn't just about uniqueness. I'm talking about transformation. Transformation. Here's what this really comes down to. This is as plain as I know to say it. If you call yourself a Christian, you're not supposed to be like everybody else. You're supposed to be different. People can argue with you all day long about Bible interpretation and theology and all that kind of stuff and what does this mean and what's the Greek word and whatever. All right, but if they see a change in you from the inside out, there is nothing they can say. There's nothing we can say that speaks louder than that. Let me put it like this. Guys, we become a light to the world only to the degree that we are different from it. You become a light to the world only to the degree that you are different from it. Let me ask you this. What makes you different from the world around you? See, you already know this. The world doesn't thirst for a religious imitation of itself. The world also does not thirst for an us versus them moral turf war over what's right and what's wrong. What this world is literally dying for is a new understanding of what it means to be free. What it means to be free. And look at me. God has a plan. He has a plan to redeem the hard and dark and the really painful places on this planet and in our hearts. And you know what the plan is? You're the plan. We're the plan. Us. We're the plan from here on out. Guys, do you understand this? He has a plan, and it's us. It's God's people transformed by God's Spirit. That is the plan. We're supposed to be different. And hey, listen, I get it. We're all in the cooker, right? Nobody's arrived here. I know some of y'all. We got like some ground to take. I totally get that. But it's an ordinary people transformed by an extraordinary Savior. That's what we're talking about here. See, here's the bottom line. Our lives are meant to display undeniable evidence that something happened to us. So that's the first thing that we have in common with these two yahoos, right? And then the second qualification that we see in this story of Peter and John, and this is so hilarious to me, and I know when I read it earlier, I noticed none of you guys laugh, but when I read this, it makes me laugh. So here's what it says in Acts chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So what you're telling me here is, all I got to do is get arrested. I mean, forget this seminary stuff, forget this preaching stuff, I just got to get arrested and a bunch of people are going to give their lives to Christ. Shoot, I can do that anytime. But here's what I really see in this passage. This is what's powerful about this. Here's what I understand about this story. Results may vary. That's really what it comes down to, right? Results may vary, you know. That here it is. It's not our job to orchestrate results. That's not what we're here for. Our job is to show up and be faithful with what we have. Peter and John just kind of showed up. They didn't have any cash on them, so they told this guy about Jesus. They offered him something better. See, so often when we think about sharing our faith or giving somebody a bracelet or inviting them to church or something like that, we get so fearful and we think, well, what if they don't, you know, and what if they get offended or what if they ask me something I don't know? Well, so what? God never expected you to have all the answers. That job's taken. That job's taken. So what he does ask us to do is just confess with our mouth that something happened to us and leave the results to him because, you know, results may vary. See, answers don't compel people to accept this amazing message. You know what does? Love. Love does. And I think that's why before Jesus left the planet, he gathered his guys together. He was like, guys, huddle up. I got something to tell you before I go. And this is crucial. Now, Old Testament, lots of commands, lots of things to do, lots of commands. Here, from here on out, you got one job. You got one job. And this is for us too, by the way. And here's your one job. John chapter 13, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must, in case you missed it, love one another. By this one thing, by that, people will know that you are my disciples. If you, in case you missed it, love one another. Now, hey, here's where it gets real. Are you known for that? When people think about you, do they think that's somebody who loves people whether he agrees with them or not? whether he understands them or not. Is this one thing what separates us from everybody else around us? See, because results may vary. More likely than not, when you tell somebody that the cross equals love, they're probably not going to drop to their knees and give their lives to Christ right on the moment, and then you'll have this big story to tell about how you saved someone. All right, that job is also taken, by the way. If we love them, whether we understand them or not, by this one thing, they will know that God loves them. So what's your one job? Hey, what's your one job? What's your one job? That's our job. Love one another. And so what does that look like? What is that? Okay, love one another. That sounds really nice and squeezy, and let's all have a hug. What does that mean? That means taking every good thing about you and pointing it back to Jesus. Taking everything good about you and pointing it back to Jesus. This whole thing started for Peter and John when they just did something kind toward a beggar. So, what act of kindness, what act of love could you do for someone in your life right now that you know needs it? Come on, somebody you work with. That grumpy old guy across the street that throws things off the... Anyway, whatever. Somebody in your life, a teenager, somebody in your cafeteria who's sitting all alone. The rest of us, somebody in your family that's really close to you that you've been trying to fix for a long time needs to know that they're loved and that the cross equals love. And then the last thing that qualifies these guys and qualifies us to share our faith is they had been with Jesus. This is what it really comes down to. In our text, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, like country bumpkin, Yahoo kind of dudes, right? They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Here's the great news about this whole message. You already have everything you need to do this. You already have everything you need to do this. You already have everything you need to point everything good about you back to Jesus. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have no idea what that means. That is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That power lives inside of you. What are you doing with it? Guys, look at me. We can do this. We can do this today. We can do this tomorrow. We can do this at the church on the weekend. But more than that, we can do this in the real world, out there, at work, in the marketplace, every single day. Why? Because something happened to you. And you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. This is why I believe that Jesus said this so clearly in John chapter 14. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works. This is crazy to think about. Will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that. What's the reason? The Father may be glorified in the Son. So here's the bottom line for today. Here's what it all comes down to. The fact that Christ lives in you qualifies you. The fact that Christ lives in you qualifies you. We don't have to worry about results. We don't have to worry about arguments. We don't have to worry about methods or theology or anything like that. The work of the cross is already done. It's already done. I agree with one of my favorite authors, Madeline Engel. She said this in a way that this is like the bow on top of this whole thing. She said, people are drawn to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. And Christ is the source of that light. So, as we close today, let me just leave you with this final thought. And I love this. You see, the freeing thing about Peter and John was they really were just ordinary men, unschooled, fishermen by trade. They became disciples of Jesus for one reason and one reason only. They said yes. They just said yes. They said yes to an invitation to follow him wherever he goes. So let me say that again. The main qualification that you share with these two guys is they just simply said yes. See, your top qualification to share the gospel does not depend on something you can do. It depends completely on something he already did. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember the day I said yes. And we're good at this, right? I remember the day when I threw up my hands, tears running down my face, and said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll set aside who I am for who you are. The day that I said with Peter and with John, as for me, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and what we've heard. So will you stand with me? Let me ask you a question. Have you said yes? Maybe you've been far from God for a long time, and something I said today, and it's not me, it's him. The Holy Spirit is stirring inside of you, and he's asking you, are you ready to say yes? Are you ready to do whatever it takes? Or maybe you've never begun a relationship with God, and I remember when that was me. I remember when I was standing in that place just like you are today. I remember the day I said yes. This could be your day. And so if that's you, I just want to ask you right now to pray with me. Will you guys all just close your eyes and pray with me? Father, oh, I can't believe what you did for us. I can't believe what you paid because we couldn't pay the price ourselves. And God, we've made it into this thing, this just crazy thing, but the reality is, God, the cross equals love. And so if there's someone in this room today, God, that needs to say yes to you again, or maybe needs to say yes to you for the very first time, if that's you and you're just, your heart is beating a little faster right now, or God is doing something in your heart, would you just say yes? Would you just surrender right now? And you can do that just by saying in your own heart, in your own words, it's not the prayer that saves you, it's the choice that you make. You can just say something like this: God, I give up. God, from this moment forward, whatever it takes. I believe your Son came to bring us the most beautiful message ever given, which is that his death and resurrection paid for my sin and my brokenness, and I'm placing my trust in him. I've been doing it my own way for quite some time. And as of today, God, I'm just going to say yes. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. What a great message from Dan about sharing your faith. If you want to find out more information about Life Church Canton or other churches in the Life Church Network, you can go to lifechurchcanton.org or fill out the form linked in the show notes below. And someone from the church will reach out to you with more information. We believe that life isn't meant to be lived in isolation. We want to connect with you and learn to live like Jesus in community together. If you want to email the show, you can do that at podcast@lifechurchcanton.org. And please do make sure to tune in next week for week 3 of our series, Cross Equals Love. Pastor Johnny Aho will be bringing the message. You won't want to miss it. You can subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud. And while you're there, please do give us a review. We don't ask for that to boost our ego, but we ask for it so that we can further our reach as a church, get more people connected to the community, and ultimately learn to live like Jesus together. Once again, I'm your host, Sam Parham, and you've been listening to the Life Church Canton Podcast. Have a great week, everybody.